Welcome to the KZE Film Club. And normally at this time every day I play a song off a soundtrack, or in this week I've been playing songs that are going to be spotlighted throughout the Woodstock Film Festival. I'm scrapping it all today. I've decided I'm doing something far better. With me today is I'm not going to call you legendary, because everybody probably says legendary. It's overused, right? But even though it fits, but I'll just say the Renaissance man of American music, David Amram. You and Barbara Kopple are going to participate in a panel on Sunday, October 19th at 12 o'clock noon at the Kleinert James Center for the Arts in Woodstock as part of the Woodstock Film Festival. And that should be incredible. Your bio is just too long to condense to just a few minutes. I just want to tell everybody, go to davidamram.com if you want to get all the details, but we'll get into a few of them anyway. You've been composing, playing music. You're such a ubiquitous person in the world of music for so many decades now. So it's such an honor to have you here, David Amram. Thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure. I've driven
Thank you.
Adam so often past Red Hook, and that friend, a Dr. Caldwell, an old friend of mine from school, lived there, and I love it. I guess very briefly, instead of saying legendary, you could say still inhaling and exhaling, because I'll be
In
95 this coming November,
November.
and I'm just so happy to come do a tiny part of the Woodstock Festival, see my old friend Barbara Kopple, whom I had the
Yeah.
joy of working with. Oh, and basically, I'm a composer who's done some film scores, because, like
Right.
filmmaking, film scoring is also an art if you're working in the arena where people who promote it care about what their children and themselves are seeing. So I'm going to show the tiny bit of the music from The Manchurian Candidate, which I wrote, John Frankenheimer directed in 19.
And there was some singer actor in the lead role, if I remember
Oh,
correctly.
sure. And then I'm going to also show a little bit with the music and without the music from a film called Splendor in the Grass, which Elie Kazan directed, which I wrote in 1960.
Oh, yeah.
And then, if there's time, show the first indie movie in 1959, before that term was used, for a film I did with Jack Kerouac called Pull My Daisy that Robert Frank did, and show a little bit of the film with how the music was used. Secondly, what it's like with no music. And third, what the music itself was after doing it and then putting it in, so that it'll be a Jiffy course in using music for films in an artistic way, not as grinding out the one presumed hit song to sell the movie, which the publishing rights go to the company. That was all a business scene, like the dog wagging the tail. And I was able, on those wonderful two feature films in Hollywood, of all places, to do the best that I could. John Frankenheimer gave me the best advice. He said, Manchurian Candidate is not a Chinese war movie. The film will tell you what to do. I said, wow. So my thing is that I told people I'm a composer who's worked occasionally for films that I like. And secondly, I'm a composer for films, not a film composer. And my hope is that the young filmmakers, or filmmakers of any age, who come to this program that we're doing will be inspired to go and into their community and find some of the hundreds of musicians, players, performers, singers, instrumentalists who might be working in a dry cleaning store after they get their degree, because there ain't no gigs, and use them to write their first film score, or get a friend. And if you have good music and you have watched the film, you have a chance, as I did with Barbara Kopple, to write something and have the person at the other end who makes the choices tell you whether it fits into their desires and their dreams of what the film should be about. So my hope is that everything I do will encourage filmmakers and people who like films to think about the music as a part of the film, like the cinematography and the acting and the actors and the editing and the direction and all of those things that make a good film or a great film, and try to see that they themselves can be adventuresome and not have to go to a music supervisor or some hack with 12 ghostwriters, which is the way it's done. And I have nothing against that, but find somebody who feels as creative as those filmmakers themselves do, that wants to work with you and be part of what you're doing. So my hope is it'll add something to the filmmakers of, and the educated listeners and viewers of the films, to see that music can be an art, not just something in the background grinding away to sell a third-rate song.
And as you mentioned, as you established, you're going to be on this panel with Barbara Koppel, who you've collaborated with before on her documentary New Homeland some years ago. So it should be really quite the conversation with you both. I mean, she's such a great conversationalist, among others.
And she's so terrific.
Such a great person.
And she really cares.
She really cares
about her film. Someone asked her at one of the many, many seminars, what do you have to do to be as successful a documentary filmmaker? And Jim Brown and the director of the wonderful film that they did 40, 50 years ago are the only filmmakers doing documentaries that have managed to establish themselves. She won two Oscars. And she said, to do any film that make it good, you have to be ready to die for it. I said, whoa, isn't that nice to hear, rather than the other way of looking at stuff. And if I had a $250 million budget, I might be nervous too and say, go with the hack, which you know will be someone who will hire seven other people to live in big houses for all the hack work that they made to stay in Hollywood, to do any piece of junk as well as maybe a good film, so that they can survive. And I understand and respect that, and I'm not holier than thou remotely. I just think that the wonderful work of the Prokofiev, when he did great music about the Russian film, John Corigliano's scores, and some of the people that I've heard who do film scores do wonderful work. Those who write it and orchestrate it themselves, I really feel like Leonard Bernstein did for the one film he did, and Aaron Copland did for all his films. They're composers who worked for films, and you can hear the music, and it's of quality that you can hear just by itself. And with the film, it enhances the film, and the film enhances their music. And that's the whole idea. It's called being cooperative. And you learn being part of the whole by conducting symphonies, by writing symphonies, by playing with jazz groups and playing with the great folk musicians. And you learn that cooperative artistic spirit, which is to be part of the whole and to make the endless thing more
beautiful. You're serving the project. You're servicing.
Exactly. Better said in one sentence. Thank you.
So that's my one specialty in life, and I haven't learned how to monetize it appropriately, but thank you.
It's hard because basically people that hire you want to get an egomaniac, Napoleonic, I won't mention any politicians' names, narcissistic, selfish, nasty person to throw their weight around, and they feel comfortable with people like that. If you, I wouldn't say humble,
well, it helps not to be self-aware at the same time.
If you're actually interested in trying to do something artistic, and I hear that word artistic when I was in Hollywood thrown around every other sentence by the most unartistic place I was ever in, from Attica Prison when I played with the prison band, who were great, and I learned something from everything else. I said, well, when I finally was taken by John Frankenheimer to a meeting of all the biggies, as they would refer to themselves, and since they brought a composer, that's like bringing a dog to a meeting. You figure they're so never going to say anything or understand anything. someone said, "Wow, it went $50 million over budget." And then someone in the back of the room said, "Is it any good?" And his response, which I couldn't say, or you lose your radio station, "What the blank has that got to do with it?" And I said, "I'm in the wrong place." And now anybody with a cell phone, here's a
Right.
cell phone, folks, in case you've never seen one.
They can't see it
Oh,
when
okay.
they're listening, but
Well,
yes,
there's
that some will see it.
a cell phone. They can make their own independent film, and they can get a composer to write the music, of whom there's anybody's a composer that can play an instrument. If you, it just depends how much time you want to put into writing your own feelings. And it's a lifetime process to do that. But they can find a composer who would love to do it, whom they love working with, and who has an interest in what they do. And usually that's the last place you go. And that's the only place you should go.
Cannot wait to till Sunday the 19th. I'm going to come to this if it's the last thing I do.
Great.
You know, I will be there,
Come
and I
and say hello. I'll be the senior citizen wearing the beads.
I'll be there, and I will. I'll come say hello to you. Can't thank you enough. And I went way over my time, but thank you, David, if I can call you
Okay.
that.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great afternoon, evening. All right.
Okay, good.
All righty.